Okay, there was just one one or two nakudas left from the last sugya we've been talking about. Really, this is a long sugya for a couple of weeks, and then we'll try to hopefully finish up and then move into the beginning of the next sugya for us. So just to recap for a moment, we've been talking about the sugya of Kesusimech Teshiure, when the halacha tells us that a certain cheftza requires a shiur. So anytime that cheftza is omed l'sreifa, and again, how do you define what's omed l'sreifa? That was already a whole, that was a sugya before the sugya. It sounds like we've been learning this sugya for the last 6 weeks or so. Probably seems that way because we have been. But once you have something that's omed l'sreifa, and then it's an object that requires a shiur, you put two and two together, and that translates to mean kesuse mech teshure, and then basically the game's over. Then the cheftza would not be acceptable. Palula, shofa, chalitzah, etc. So we realized last week that that principle is not always true. That sometimes you have an item that requires a shear, but the shear need not be one unit. The shear can be made up of different pieces, different small particles. And such a shear may not even be subject to ksuse mech teshure, because as we said in the previous weeks, the name of the Ran, ksuse mech teshure doesn't mean the item's not here. It doesn't mean it's not existent. It means that it's here in broken up ashes form. So an esrog has to be an entire unit of an esrog. You can't have an esrog made up of 5,000 different particles that are separated from one another. So if you have a pile of ashes of esrog ash, that wouldn't be acceptable. The lulav has to be one entity. A chalitza has to be one entity. But as we saw last week, at least in the name of the Ravid, a lechi for a mavoi need not be one unit. You could pile up a whole 10 tefachim high of ashes, and that would be a perfectly acceptable lechi. So therefore, the Ravid claimed the Ksusa Mech Teshure wouldn't make sense when you're dealing with something which the shear itself doesn't require to be a one unit, could be made up of multiple little pieces, that wouldn't be subject to Ksusa Mech Teshure. That was the Yisod that emanated from the Ravid and the Gemara in Erevin last week. So there's one last Nakuda that I want to just almost like put the, no pun intended, put some of the pieces together in this one, and to really highlight some of the Yisodos that we've been talking about. It's a Gemara tucked away. I didn't put it on the Marmikam. We'll say it outside quickly. It's a Gemara tucked away in the very, very ends of Maseches Benachos. I mean, I get well into brisk, well into Kachim to get to this Gemara towards the end of Maseches Benachos, where the Gemara discusses some of the intricacies of Tumas Ochlin. Now, we know that in order for a food to become Tumas Tumas Ochlin, so there's a certain shear that has to be met. It has to be a shear of a kibetza. And even that's not so clear. Is that the shear for... in order for it to be able to makabel tumah, is that the shear for it to be able to spread tumah? That's already, again, that's already, that's not even called, that's already taras, the next level. But there is a din of tumas ochlin, to some degree there is some kind of a shear of a kibetza. So the Gemara raises the question about a certain type of food that is osur b'hano and it's tom sreifa, and that food is nosar. I have meat left over from a korban, so I'm not allowed to eat it. You have to this man achila, whatever this man achila is, different kamanas have different zman achila. After this man achila, I'm not permitted to eat it in a Torah. I'm chayv koris of eat it. And no severa b'ikav eishes rov, I have to burn it. So the Gemara raised the question, even though it's true, I have to burn it, but maybe it's still subject to the dinim of Tumas Ochlin. So the Gemara says that, at least, and again, we're leaving out some of the details, intricacies of the sugya. The Gemara says that the way we follow the halacha, it's very possible that Noser actually can really be Tomei Tumas Ochlin. So come the Rishonim pose a question. Wait a second. How is it going to be Tomek Tumas Ochlin? Why don't we say Ksuse Mech Teshiure? It doesn't have a shear because it's Omed L'Sreifa. Since there's a mitzvah, so if it's Omed L'Sreifa, it should be Chosr the shear. If it's Chosr the shear, it shouldn't be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So the answer that's generally given to this question runs as follows, really pretty much based on the Ravid's idea back from the sugars and air of it, that the shear of Tumas Ochlin does not require that the unit be one piece of food. Let's say, for example, I have a tenth of a kibetza of a cracker, and a tenth of a kibetza of some peanut butter, and a tenth of a kibetza of jelly, and a tenth of a kibetza of a piece of cheese, and they all add together to be a kibetza, so they're all connected to one another, all touching one another, so that is considered to be a cheftza of ochel, that's considered to be the shear for Tumas Ochlin. They need not be connected, need not be one entity, one unit. And therefore, even if we're going to view this noser as called omed, in the sense of ksusim echtshir, it's omed l'kach v'sreifa, there's no way to circumvent the mitzvah teira of sreifas kachim, sreifas noser, so it's ksusim mech teshiura, but not really, because it's broken up into little pieces, so zolzai, it's little pieces, so we'll view it as a pile of ashes, of food ashes. So since it's no worse than any other pile of food, if I take a potato and cut it into a million little pieces, if they're all pieces that are sitting in the same cup, so it's vital to be makabel, it's going to touch each other, it's vital to be makabel tumah together. So just because there's a shir bedover doesn't automatically translate to me to ksusim et b'shirah. So really, it's just, again, this Gemara Menachos, which seems to support that theory of the Rabbi from last week. So when all the dust settles, so the rule of ksusim et b'shirah is a sugi that permeates many, many places in Shas. We've been talking about it from the Lulav and Esrei point of view. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah spoke about it from the shofar angle, when Yevamos discussed it vis-a-vis chalitza shu. And we saw that in order for this rule to take place, so many conditions have to be met. First of all, you have to really be convinced that this item is ta'on sreifa, and ta'on sreifa in a way that's going to be, in a sense, a permanent sreifa. There's no way to get around, no way to circumvent the chi of sreifa. That's what we spoke so much about 2-3 weeks ago, about even items such as serious as avodah zarah, but if they're efshim bitol, if they're types of avodah zarah that lend themselves to bitol, so they're not omei l'sreifa, unconditionally omei l'sreifa, and therefore they wouldn't be subject to ksusim et b'shirah. And even if they are unconditionally subject to sreifa, if the nature of the shiur is such that it's a metzias-oriented shiur, that was a big machlokes from last week or 2 weeks ago, that was the shofar issue and the chalitza shu issue, shiurim, the Neres Chanukah issue, shiurim that are not purely objective halachic in nature, but are more metzias-oriented, may also be mufka for the sugi of ksus mechta shiur, right? And then the third nekuda that we're saying is that even a shiur that's halacha shiur, but it's not a shiur that requires one unit, one common entity, that may also be excluded from ksus mechshura. So anytime you see the words ksus mechshura and shas, you have to ask yourself three questions. You have to ask, is this item unconditionally omer b'kach to be destroyed? Number two, is the shia that we're talking about a metzias-oriented shia, halachic-oriented shia? And number three, even if it is a halachic-oriented shia, is it a shia of one unit or is it a shia of multiple units as well? So that pretty much, I think, summarizes some of the things we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So now let's begin really a brand new sugya. And the sugya that we're about to embark upon is very, very much a shas sugya. It begins in Masechet Sukkah, but it's going to take us very, very quickly out of Masechet Sukkah. It's actually going to impact a lot in Masechet Shabbos. For those who are learning Daf Yomi, we'll find actually some of the Gemaras we'll even begin to talk about tonight or within the last couple of days of Daf Yomi cycle. Those who come to the Sunday morning shiurim, so definitely we'll find some of the terms that we're going to be using, terms that we're familiar with over the last couple of years of Hilchos Shabbos. So it's going to really, really touch on many, many different areas. But beginning, first and foremost, it starts actually in Masechet Sukkah. So let's open our Gemaras in Masechet Sukkah. To Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So we're jumping a little bit in terms of the Gemara. We're going to skip to a sugya on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So we're going to begin with, let's see where the Mishnah is towards the bottom. So up from the Mishnah, approximately about 12 to 15 lines, the first word line is Venira. So it's a little bit more than halfway down the page on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis in Sukkah. The Gemara quotes the following braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'atin B'yamtif. This braisa is commenting off a dinah that appears in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about some of the psulim of Hadassim, and one of the things that could disqualify Hadass is if a hadas has a lot of berries on it. Now, probably anyone under the age of 25 probably never saw a berry on a hadas because the younger members of our group have probably been buying pre-packaged hadas in their entire life. The olives, the olive pluses, the olive plus, plus, plus. I'm always marveled about how each plus hikes, jacks up the price, another dollar. Sometimes I can't tell the slightest bit of difference between the plus and the plus, plus, pluses, but somehow they seem to be more expensive. So the... In the olden days, until 20 years ago, when people would actually go and just pick out, I remember as a little boy, that imagery of standing with my father for many, many, many hours just trying to find a couple of good hadassim. So the many of the hadassim used to have berries on them. And now they pluck them all for you. But these are the berries. I remember, everyone remembers the old hadassim. They had little berries on them. So berries could sometimes be a problem. Now, the truth is that most of the berries that we would see were really not such a big problem anyway. They were mostly green berries. And the green berries don't really detract from the beauty of the hadas, but the hadas also have blackberries on them, which could potentially disqualify the hadas. So that's the din, that if you have berries on hadas that are a different color, they could, if there are too many of them, they could actually wound the hadas, they could pass the hadas. There's a machlokes we've shown him, why is it possible to lack of hadas? There are other reasons, but the bottom one is the Mishnah says it's not acceptable. But the Mishnah says, this psul of having too many berries, if you have more berries than leaves, is a psul that can be rectified. You can simply pluck off the berries. And once you pluck off the berries, then the das becomes kosher again. The only thing is, the Mishnah says, is that you're not allowed to pluck off those berries on Yontif itself. So the guy walks into shul, Yontif, what, he forgot to check his hadas. He opens up his belulav, he's like, gavalt, he starts counting, he's got 22 berries and 19 leaves, so he thinks he's just going to pluck off a few berries and call it a day. You're not allowed to do that. Ein ma'atim b'yontif. So that's how the braisa begins, Tanur Rabbanan. Ein ma'atim b'yontif. You're not allowed to pluck off the berries. Why is that? So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit later. It's prohibited because of mesachin kli. It's like fixing something. The hadas is broken. The hadas is not usable right now. But I'm going to pluck off those berries. I'm making the hadas usable. So that's a problem. Now, truth to be told, there is a machlekes rishonim. Is that a problem in our Torah? Is that a problem in the Rabbanim? So we're going to talk hopefully about that a lot later on when the sugyas begin to develop. The next sugya, the following sugya. So that's going to become a critical point, whether we're even dealing with the deraisa or the rabbanon over here. But some kind of nisr of mesachin kli, either a real makabepatish, a real malacha deraisa, or some derabbanon that resembles makabepatish. So the bottom line is the rabbanon in matim biyomim. Mishum Rabbi Elazar be Bishimon amru b'matim. In the name of Rabbi Elazar be Bishimon, it was said over that it is permissible to pluck the berries. So yes, the Gemara, how could he say that? Makabesachin mana biyomim. Aren't you fixing a kli? How can Rabbi Elazar be Shimon just outright permit to do this? Isser either there. I said there. How can it be? The Gemara says, no, we misunderstood what Rabbi Elazar be Shimon said. I'm Rav Ashi. Kagon shaliktan liachila. Rabbi Elazar be Shimon savala ke'avu adiyam adavashem iskavin mutar. Rav Ashi says that the Braisa almost didn't mention the most important point of this kula. It's talking about your goal is to eat the berries. So I'm sitting down this morning and having my bowl of cereal and my bran flakes, a little schwach. I'm going to put in some berries into them. So I see, my hadas got some good, yummy tasting berries. So I'll pluck off the berries and put them into the bowl of cereal. So what's wrong with that? I'm not fixing the hadas. My goal wasn't to fix the hadas. My goal was to get berries. So what could possibly be wrong with that? So that's what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said, it's okay. So of course the question becomes, if that's the case that Rabbi Elazar Shimon was permitting, then why did the first view in the Braisa prohibit it? So that's what the Gemara adds on and says, wait a second. This issue touches on a major machlekes ha'tanoim about the issue called Dover She'ena Miskavin. Dover She'ena Miskavin means I'm doing X and X is okay. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. The only problem is that when doing X, so it's very possible that Y may occur. And if Y occurs, well, Y is a Dover Usur. Y is a problematic activity. Am I permitted to do X knowing that Y may occur? That's called the Dover Shem is coming. I'm not planning to do Y. That's not my goal. My agenda is I'm not really thinking about doing the mitzvah right now. I want cereal right now. I want my bowl of berries right now. So I want to know, Rabbi, can I pluck off the berries to eat? Even though it is possible that the hadas may become fixed, may become niskan. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon said it's okay. You know why? Because Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was a son of his father, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the Tanu Hel Dover Shem Miskavin is Mutar. Now again, anyone who's been learning that Yom Masechet Shabbos has no doubt bumped into this view once or twice. Rabbi Shimon is the Tanu Dover Shem Miskavin is Mutar. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is subscribing to that view. So that's Pshat in the Braisa. Now the Braisa reads like a charm. Then the first Tana that prohibits the plucking of the berries, even though it's a Dover Shem Miskavin, must be following the other Tanoim, namely the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who does not subscribe to a kula, to a heter of Dabar Shem Miskavin. That's how the Gemara presents it right now. But this Braisa is just a repeating of the age-old machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about Dabar Shem Miskavin. Yes, the Gemara, not so simple. Yes, the Gemara, Baha Baiva, Rabba Damit, Rabbi, Melody of Shimon, Psigration, you almost, wait a second. This is not a Dabar Shem Miskavin. The ABCs of Dabar Shem Miskavin mean, don't do A, because B may occur, but if you know for a fact that B is going to occur, that is not a Dover Shem Miskavin, that is a Psik Reisha. The Gemara uses the phrase Psik Reisha to mean, you can't chop the chicken's head off and say, well, I just wanted to play with the head, I don't want to kill the chicken. It's a leitzonos, it's a farce. When you know that plucking the chicken's head off is going to result in the killing of the chicken, that's not a Dover Shem Miskavin of Sheikhet, that's a Psik Reisha of Sheikhet, and that's a problem. So also over here, you know by plucking off the berries, that is inevitably going to be machshir the sadas. So how could you hide behind your father, Rabbi Shimon? How can you, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, hide behind the Tanur Rabbi Shimon and say, well, it's a Dov Shem Iskavit, everything's hunky-dory? Not true. It's not good at all, because there's a Psik Reisha. The Gemara gives a very, very cryptic answer. Hachav Ma'eskidon, we're dealing with the Isle Hoshana Chritin. The fellow has another Hadas. Hoshana in the Gemara means like a whole bundle. Hadas and Rabbis together. It's called a Hoshana in the Lashon Chazal. Isle Hoshana Chritin means he has another bundle. He has another a bunch of Hadasim. And therefore, he doesn't need this Hadas. And therefore, everything is great. What made everything great? It's Vayitur Psik Reisha. So there are 3, 4, 5 different opinions of the Rishonim, what the Gemara just said. What did that answer just mean? Hopefully, Beit Hashem will come back to this as this sugya and future sugyas begin to develop. So I don't want to focus so much on the problem of Psik Reisha, nor on the solution of Isle Hoshana Chritin. Each one of those things, hopefully, will be shiurim and sugyas in and of themselves. I want to focus on the first hanukkah of the Gemara, how the Gemara started by telling us that this machlaikis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is a machlaikis about Dover She'ena Miskabin. That's the topic. That's the issue. Dover She'ena Miskabin. Rabbi Shimon holds Dover She'ena Miskabin is okay, and Rabbi Yehuda holds Dover She'ena Miskabin is a problem. So I want to really take a step back, and it's critical for our Gemara, because the entire Shabbat in the Gemara starts off with this machlaikis, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So we really, really owe it to ourselves to understand a little bit better what the machlokes is all about, what's really going on behind the scenes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So I want to start off with the following question. Rabbi Yehuda, I want to analyze Rabbi Yehuda. We may end up spending the bulk of today's shiur analyzing the Tanya that we don't possibly like, but part of Torah is going to help us clarify certain things. So we start off with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has this statement, this chiddush, Dov Shem Iskavin is Osir. If you do a Dov Shem Iskavin Shabbos, terrible, you're not going to do it. I think Gemara gives you a few examples. Of course, the most famous example is the person who wants to schlep the chair in the backyard. Schlepping a chair in the backyard, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's an area of nothing wrong. Problem is, there's a chance that a hole may be made. And if you make a hole in the ground, is a problem on Shabbos. On the other hand, I don't know whether I'm going to make a hole. Can I drag the chair or not? So although we paskin yes, like Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda said unequivocally no. You're not permitted to drag that chair. It's also a gum to drag that chair on Shabbos, even though that wasn't my intention. I'm not planning on making a hole. It's still also to drag the chair on Shabbos. I don't even know the hole's going to be made. It's still also to drag the chair on Shabbos. So I want to raise the following shot of you. Within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, again, the view that we don't even follow, within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabbanan? What's the source for that? Just how bad is that action within the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda about dragging a chair on Shabbos with a potential outside chance of making a hole? Does the Torah say that's also, or did the Chacham say that's also? That's all I want to know. So you may be wondering, what's the difference? The Raisa, the Rabbanim, it makes all the difference in the world. It's really going to set the stage for our entire sugya. So let's learn the sugya together in Maseches Yuma. The easy part is that most people have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in the same volume, so it's one less Gemara to bring to the table, myself included. So the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. So Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the Gemara was talking about, actually the Mishnah was talking about a very real live problem that existed in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. No, so I always get a lot of chizik from this sugya. I'll tell you what. I said, anyone who ever, any rabbi, gabbai, president of a shul, anyone in the high holiday sheets committee always knows that the biggest source of conflict on Yom Kippur is climate control. Is the shul too hot or is the shul too cold? Half the people are plotting it's too hot. Half the people are plotting it's too cold. I can't even begin to think about how that's going to be how it's going to be expressed manifold times over this year, when some in Yonah may be indoors, maybe outside. The only thing I can say is that anyone who daven outside the Yom Narayim can bring their complaints to the Rabbanu Shalom. At least they can't yell at the Gabbayim for missetting the thermostat on the thermometer. But and anyone who complains inside, anyone who says it's too cold, we'll send them outside. We'll see what they say about that. So the Gemara says that Bizman, the Beis HaMikdash, they also had a climate control problem. You know what the problem was? It's too cold in the morning. Sometimes you can get a late Yom Kippur, you can get a Yom Kippur, halfway through October, on a good Yerushalayim night in the fall, you know, in Yerushalayim, it could be chilly. It could be early in the morning when the Avodah Sayyam is starting, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. It could still be a nice, good chill in the air in the Beis HaMikdash. And what's the problem? The problem is the Kohen Gadol has to be Tovel. It has to be Tovel multiple times. And the first time it has to be Tovel is very, very early in the day. And the Kohen Gadol can sometimes be an older person. And it can be hard. It can be just physically hard for him to be Tovel in the cold water. Can you imagine? You usually think, you know, Yom Kippur, today everyone's in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Everyone, you know, who would ever think about things relevant to Elam Hazeh? Elam Hazeh also. Even on Yom Kippur, a little bit of Hazeh. If it's cold, it's cold. So even the Beis HaMikdash had to figure out how can heat up the water, make it a little more comfortable for the Kohen Gadol. That's what the Mishnah says. If he's either older or sensitive, delicate person, you have to figure out an Eitzah. So the Gemara quotes a Brice and Lamadan regrets about the 8 lines from the top. First one line is Imhaya. Imhaya Kohen Gadol Zachar Ristis Chulitanya. I'm Rabbi Yudam. Ashoshio Shol Barzil. They would actually heat up these like pieces of metal, pieces of iron, and from before Yom Kippur, then they would throw them into the cold water on Yom Kippur into the mikvah. They should tough it also to take the chill out of the air. Obviously, they didn't have any heating system in the mikvahs like we have today, so it was very hard to heat up the water. So one aid they came up with was to throw the hot metal. Now, obviously, you can't put the hot metal on. You can't put the metal onto the flame in Yom Kippur. Heating up metal, making metal glow in Yom Kippur, says Melacha D'oraisa. You're allowed to do the Avodas HaMikdash, like the Kavanas HaDoche Yom Kippur, but not heating up the mikvah for the Kohen Gadol is not Doche Yom Kippur. So they had to heat up these pieces of iron and keep them on the stove for overnight. Then comes Yom Kippur morning, they would throw them into the water. There was no issue of bishul on the water because the water didn't get hot, didn't get anywhere near yet, so let us bow. It was literally just to take the chill out of the water. So we asked the Gemara, wait a second, not so simple. Balo mitzaref, by throwing hot pieces of metal into water, that strengthens the metal. That's what's the issue called mitzaref. So the chlek is rishonim, is it machba patish, is it kiboy, different possibilities. But there's some issue malach involved with taking hot metal and exposing it to cold water. The Gemara says, no, I'm a rabbi bishlo gilatzir. How come I askinan? It wasn't heated up enough to reach that point of tzir. Again, I'm not in the metal making business. I couldn't answer, tell you exactly what that is. But we have more folks on the second answer. Abai Omar, afilu temesh gilatzir of tov shem iskaben mutter. Abai says, it's okay, it's all right. Even though there is going to be a malach of tzir taking place, it's a Dovashin Miskavin. And a Dovashin Miskavin is okay. Rabbi Hochi asks the Gemara, really? A Dovashin Miskavin is okay? Now the Gemara asks a very, very strange question. Vatanya, we're going to prove to you that Rabbi does not believe that Dovashin Miskavin is okay so fast. We learned the Braisa, it was just in Daf Yomi just a couple of days ago, Vatanya. Basar Arloso. Torah says you have to do the bris on the Basar Arloso. The word basar is a little bit superfluous because it could have said Yomash bin Yimo Arloso. Arloso is basar. So what's Basar Arloso? A filim b'mokam sheisha beheretz yakot divi Rabbi Yeshia. Rabbi Yeshia says, it's coming to teach me that even if this person you're doing the bris mila on, even on that, the skin in that area has, of a heretz, has negatzaras on it, and normally there's an issue, you're not allowed to cut off negatzaras. You shom negatzaras, it's an issue deraisa to cut off the negatzaras. It's okay. The mitzvah of Bismil is doiche that isra. Feel the bracha of Shesha Meheret Yachot, Stiv Rebbe Yeshia. Now, if you and we asked the question of Masech HaShabbos, Krol Amali, what are we pausing for? The pausing sounds like it's being matted what would otherwise have been usher. Why would this have been usher? After all, it's only a davar shein miskaven, because I'm not planning on being metaher this person. I'm not planning on violating the isser of Yishar ben Egret Zeras. I'm simply doing a bris mila. So why do I need a pasuk? It should have been mutter me'elav. V'yam Rabbaye, and Rabbaye himself told us, L'Rabbi Yehuda d'yam davar shein miskaven asur. This price is needed according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, Dovashim Miskavin is also. So wait a second. You, Abaye, are saying Pshat and Abraisa, saying Pshat and Apostle, basically, saying Pshat and Drash and Chazal, assuming like Rabbi Huda, Dovashim Miskavin is also, and therefore you need a Apostle to be Matarit. It sounds like you're a Rabbi Huda person. So the Gemara gives a very cryptic answer. Hani mili b'chalatar kula, alohachat siruf the rabbananu. No. Don't mix up the two. One is called a terakula, and one is tziruf derabanan. Ad kan devir Gemara. So just in case anyone has any idea what the Gemara is talking about, please let me know, because I have no idea. The Gemara is, from mitchila v'yatzayf, the Gemara is incomprehensible. We don't know what the Gemara's kasha was, we don't know what the Gemara's teretz was, we're not sure what the case is, we don't know what sikreishas, davashem iskabin, deraita, one is deraisa, one's derabanan, one's called terakula, one's not called terakula. Mitchila v'yatzayf, the Gemara's polite one. Just in case you thought it was an easy sugya, I don't want to scare anybody. We're not going to read this Tosis inside. But just take a look at this Tosis, by the way. It starts with Hani Mibisur Deraisa Hachatzir of the Rabbanan. Look at the size. It's a pretty big Tosis, right? And look where it doesn't end. It doesn't end on the end of the page. It goes on to the next page. So this is, I think, the longest Tosis in Shas. It could be the longest Tosis in Shas, by word. I'm not sure. If it's not, it's definitely up there, top three long Tosis in Shas. So, Rabbi Shabbat, we have a lot of work cut out for us. Let's see if we can begin to dissect the sugya slowly but surely. The Gemara just rattled off for us a few examples of Dovashen Miskaven, a few situations that would be subject to the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon Dovashen Miskaven. Let's chazer in our minds for a second. Just what were some of those examples? One was the Gemara in Sukkah that we spoke about the plucking off the berries that the Gemara thought was Dovashen Miskaven, and the Gemara backpedaled Sikresha. Then they things are different from the other two. If you think about classic Dover She'en Miskaven, I'll give you the secret. Classic Dover She'en Miskaven always means there are two Maisim that we can identify. I always give the marshal, there's Maisa A and there's Maisa B. I am planning on doing Maisa A. I am not thinking about Maisa B. Maisa B may be happening, probably happening, possibly happening, definitely happening. I don't want to talk statistics right now. There's Maisa A and there's Maisa B. Whenever we can identify two Maisa Chalukim Zemizem, we are subject to the Sugi of Dovah Shei Miskaven. Let's think through really clearly now all three of these cases. Are there really two Maisim, are there really two different things that are going on or not? So in the case of, let's take the case of the water in Yom Kippur. There's Maisa of heating up a mikvah, and there's Maisa of strengthening metal. Now, the problem is that I'm doing one, my intent is for A, and B is potentially, maybe, possibly, definitely, certainly, getting schlepping along B. So this is a prime example of Dovah Shei Miskaven. It's like Marshall Adavadayman. When I drag a chair, is action A is dragging a chair, action B is making a hole. A may lead to B, possibly need to B, definitely need to B, certainly. We'll work out the details of secretion later. But we've identified two different actions that are taking place. And that is also, again, a prime example of the sugya of Dovah Shei Miskaven. If you go back to our sugya in Sukkah also, there is the action of plucking berries for eating, and there is the being machshir hadas. So once again, we can divide it up into A and B. But I want to look very, very carefully at this scenario of Yimo Basara Losai. I have a baby in front of me and it has a negetzaras, the Oso Aver, Isimakum of Orla. And I want to cut off that basar. Why do I want to cut off? Listen to the words. I want to cut off that basar because I want to fulfill the Bitsatari Bris Mila. At the same time, the Torah says, don't cut off that basar. because cutting off that basar is a violation of Yishal B'Negev Tzeras. So the Gemara calls that Dabar Shem Iskavim. And the Gemara says that if you hold Dabar Shem Iskavim as mutter, then you don't even need a pasuk to tell me that it's mutter. It's mutter because it was never asr in the first place. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that Dabar Shem Iskavim is asr, then I need a pasuk to tell me that the mitzvah's mila overrides Doicha V'Yisr V'Yishal B'Negev Tzeras. But if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, Dabar Shem Iskavim is mutter, I don't even need a pasuk that. We just read the Gemara together. Lo nitzche elo l'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the verse says, Vavira krol amali. Yom Rabbi Yehuda, Abai l'Rabbi Yehuda. Yom Rabbi Yehuda, then you need a pasuk. According to Rabbi Shimon, you don't need a pasuk. Why? This is covered by Dabar Shem Iskavim. I don't understand. Why is this covered by Dabar Shem Iskavim? This has nothing to do with Dabar Shem Iskavim. I'll tell you why. There's only one action. Can I cut this skin off or not? This is not two maisim. This is one maiser with two different agendas, two different goals, two different purposes, two different matarot, two different goals. That's not Dabar Shem Iskavim. That has nothing to do with Dabar Shem Iskavim. And we don't understand why the Gemara even calls it Dabar Shem Iskavim. Rabbi say, what would we call this? If I were to ask you, I'm doing the exact same action as an Isser, but I have a different goal in mind, I have a different agenda. Would you ever call that Dabar Shem Iskavim? What would you call that, Rabbi Sag?
Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa.
That's a perfect classic. The fish is right on target. That is a Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa.
But why aren't the other two the same? It's one action. I'm plucking berries with two different results.
Okay. Like the fish, I was nervous to give the example of the berries. I just felt I couldn't not give it because that's a sugya. So I was afraid someone's going to jump on me and you. My worst fears were just...
Sorry.
That's good. Fakir, I don't have to apologize. Thank you.
But the other case also, I'm doing one action. I'm throwing that metal hot bar into the water. It will have two results. One is it'll warm the water, and two, because the water is cold, it will strengthen the bar.
No,
one action, two results.
No, so there I have less problems with it. There I think is much closer to the dragging of the chair. It's also the quote unquote one action dragging a chair. But you in our minds we could separate and say you can drag a chair and not make a hole. You can make a hole without dragging a chair. They're two different maisim. So too over here, when it comes to the water, you can heat up a mikvah. Or you can, without necessarily strengthening bars of metal, you can strengthen bars of metal without heating up a mikvah. They're two separate maisim. Over here, when it comes, it's a very dachistical line. It's very, very dachistical, very, very fine. We're going to see the Rashba in a moment that highlights this line. That when it comes to the ktsitas of beheres, so there's one thing that I'm doing. I'm cutting off a beheres, and now there are two different purposes, two different reasons why I would cut off a beheres, why I would cut off the skin. I would either cut it off to fulfill the mitzvah's prismila, or I would cut it off to be betar semitzayra. So l'chora, with Dr. Fisher says, correct. That's a malacha shenetzich l'gufa. That's something we've been talking about many times in the Sunday morning shiurim. If I carry the garbage outside on Shabbos, that's a malacha shenetzich l'gufa. What I'm doing is an identical, I'm doing a maisa malacha for a different purpose. Carrying in the Mishkan was done to use the item, is not to remove them. But whenever I do the identical maisa with a different agenda, that's called Malach Shetzich L'Gufa. So we don't understand why the Gemara even calls this Dabar Shein Miskavin. But an even more problematic issue is, Dabar Shein Miskavin is something that permeates Kol HaTorah Kula. Dabar Shein Miskavin is a machlekes between Rabbi Shimon, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Kol HaTorah Kula. Malach Shetzich L'Gufa doesn't even surface outside of HaShabbos. There's no such thing as an Issa Shein HaTorah L'Gufa. That's an absurd phrase. Malach Shetzich L'Gufa is unique to Mishkan, unique to Shabbos. Nobody, even those who accepted it, never dreamt of applying it outside of HaShabbos. And as such, not only is the Gemara using the wrong term, the Gemara is applying the incorrect term to an area of halacha that it doesn't even belong. So these are not my kashas, this is the Rashba. I think I sent this on the phone. Everyone see it on the Makaris? So this is the Rashba in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. So let's take a look at this Rashba. It's on Kuf Lam and Gimel and Aleph. So let's take a look on the first column towards the end of the first column. It's the bottom paragraph in the end of the first column. Tamili. I don't know if anyone sees it. It's the last paragraph. The end of the first column. It's called Tuf Pei Zayin. It's me, Ali, says the Rashba. Man de Masta Hadir of Yosha. Korle Dov Shem Iskavin. Why in the world is cutting off the Beheres for the purpose of doing the Bris called Dov Shem Iskavin? Dov Iskavin the Ketitza. He is being Iskavin very much to cutting. El She'eno Iskavin the Tar El Lamul. But he's not doing it for the purpose of being retired the Mitzvah. He couldn't care less to be retired the Mitzvah. His goal is to do Bris Mila. The ain't a kara Dov Shem Iskavin, and that is not a Dov Shem Iskavin. A malachshet tzich legufa. And as a malachshet tzich legufa, there are two problems. There's a textual problem. So why does the Gemara call it the wrong thing? Why does the Gemara label it Dov Shem Iskavin? But an even more profound question is, why are we even discussing it? If we're not even talking about a chasham, but talking about kol tarkula, why are we even discussing it? What is this similar to? L'mechabe gachela shel eitz Rishus Harabim, the Miskavein Lechabos, below Machvash Utsach Legufa Shel Kibui, Elegnesh Lezuka Barabim. The Gemara says, Masech Shabbos, if I have a coal that's burning in the street and I'm putting it out, I am definitely putting it out. There's no question that I'm intending to extinguish. I'm pouring water on this burning piece of wood, but my goal is not to make it charcoal. So that's called the malach shatzir guf. I'm doing it for a different purpose. I'm just doing it so nobody should get hurt. That's a malach shatzir guf. Karele malach shatzir guf. Ladov shem iskavin. These per kirets and ferish gemara. Let's skip the two lines. So to v'yesh loymar. So again, the Rashba just posed that question. That lechora, this case of cutting the beharis off is not dov shem iskavin. We have the wrong cloth. V'yesh loymar says the Rashba. The e cost of Rachamana befeira shishama benegat zerash lo takutz hachinami. If the Torah would have said, "Don't cut off the negat zerash," if that would have been the lashon of Torah, "Don't cut off your zerash," then we would have been right. But the Torah doesn't say, "Don't cut off." Ella, hishama benegat zerash cost of Rachamana. The Torah just says, "Be careful about zerash." It says in Barshas Kisei, it says, be careful about Tzaraas to follow all the didim. Kloimar, shelo yitarenu el baras kohen. The iser of cutting off Tzaraas is not an iser maisek tzitzas ha-Tzaraas. It's an iser to set up a matzav, to set up a situation, to become tohor, shelo yitaras ha-kohen. The name of the iser is not the maisek tzitzas. The name of the iser is, there's no way you're permitted to become Tohar short of going through the intricacies of Pashas Tazria and Mitzrayim. And since the Torah says, be careful not to circumvent Pashas Tazria and Mitzrayim, we are not on the Amina. Therefore, we conclude the Kevin Shekin, also Lokas Beresh, Mitabis is also. Therefore, if you're going to cut off your Tzaraas, that's going to be a violation of the Sisr, because you circumvented the Kayin. Vilkach, Kishazek Kaitzitz Lashem, Milav Ledoshem is Kavanet Tara. Therefore, the Rashba says that's what's called a Dov Shem Iskavin. Why? If the Isser of cutting off Tzaraas would have been an Isser Maisa Ketzitza, then it would have been the same Maisa as cutting off the Bris, and we would have been in a pickle. We would have had to call that one Maisa, different goal. That's Blach Shetzirich Lagufa territory. But the reason why we're comfortable to call this a Dov Shem Iskavin, because there is a second maise, quote unquote. What's the second? I can't call it a maise with a straight face. So what is it? The second quote unquote maise is the tara shaloya de kohen. That's the iser. That's the maise iser. That's the etzem. That's the essence of the iser of tzaraas. It's not the maise tzitzah, but it's the tara shaloya de kohen. And vis-a-vis that, it's tachadosh and miskavin. So I'm doing action A called cutting off the aura orla. And that's leading possibly down the line, either Psegresha, Dov Shem Iskavin, certainly whatever it is, to be a becoming Tar Shloi Dekoyin. Because we took the Isser of Yishomer Ketiras out of the realm of an Isser Maisa Pe'ula of Ketzitza into the realm of a Tar Shloi Dekoyin, that enables us to plug in the model of A and B, and that enables us to call Dabashay Miskab. That's the breakthrough of the Rashba. Mamashay Lumbisha, Mamashay Teeth of Board for the Rashba. A Lumbisha Board just explained the ABCs of Agama. So, Rabbi said, getting back to our story. So, back to the Gemara Maseches Yuma. So, the Gemara posed the question, Abaye, make up your mind. What do you think about Dabashay Miskab? Is it a problem or is it not a problem? What do you think? Are you a Rabbi Yehuda person or a Rabbi Shimon person? So on the one hand, Abaye is telling me we can justify the heating up of the water because of Dabashay Shem Miskavim. We can hide by Dabashay Shem Miskavim. But you, Abaye, are telling us that the only way to understand the drasha of the necessity for the pasuk to be matik tzitzis beheres for bris milah, the only way to understand the need for that pasuk is to fall back on Rabbi Yehuda. So you're a Rabbi Yehuda person. Who are you? You're Rabbi Yehuda. What's going on? What do you hold? Who are you, Rabbi? Who are you, Abaye? The Gemara gives this cryptic answer. What in the world does that phrase mean? What do those words mean? So let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi, on the Flamedal of Amazing Yuma, Rashi explains very, very simply. The Chol HaTorah, the last Rashi, right before the Mishnah, B'chol HaTorah. B'yisur D'araisa, when we're dealing with the D'araisa, Kigon, Kotzitz Beheres, Tachsivi Shomen Eger Tzeras. V'yamamar B'kotzitz Beheres, Tachos B'daber. When we're dealing with the D'araisa, such as Kotzitz Beheres, then Dabashay Miskavin is a problem. But when you're dealing with something which is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, what's only an Issa D'Rabbanan? Mitzarif. Throwing metal into water is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, not an Issa D'Araisa. Why? It's not a melacha d'oraisa. It's not real machmatat, it's not real kibbutz. It's only an issur d'rabbanan. Even the Heilig Tana Rabbi Yehuda, who said Dabashay Miskav is asur, only said it by isurim d'oraisa, never said it by isurim d'rabbanan. That's a rational shanigama. So when all the dust settles, the reason why even Rabbi Yehuda permits you to heat up the mikvah in Yom Kippur, even though it's a Dabashay Miskav, it's right. But it's all it is an issur d'rabbanan. It's not anyways a d'rabbanan. By isurim d'rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda never asked the Dabashay Miskavim. When did he ask the Dabashay Miskavim? Only by isurim d'oraisa, such as kotzitz tzaras. That's the way Rashi learned Pshat in this Gemara. What's the rationale for this? What's the svar for this pillar plug? If you really believe Dabashay Miskavim is a problem, so then let it be problematic. Called the tikkun d'rabbanan came d'oraisa tikkun. So we generally, we don't like to do isurim d'rabbanan either. So make up your mind. If you really believe that Dabashay Miskavim is problematic, if you really review the person, why does review the friendship between isurim d'oraisa and isurim d'rabbanan? So Rabbi Kiveger in his Chedushim in Maseches Yuma on this daf is the following fascinating insight. According to Rabbi Yehuda, again, we're entering into the world of Rabbi Yehuda, a Tana that we happen not even to accept, but his sheet has become critical for us also. I want to pose a question to Rabbi Yehuda. You, Rabbi Yehuda, say, Dabashay Miskavim is awesome. But at the end of the day, I don't know what the malach is going to happen. I don't know if this is going to happen. So based on what are you answering? How can you tell me don't do something if you're in doubt whether the malach is going to occur anyway? The answer is, it must be what you're really saying is that you have to err on the side of caution because midei sveika lenafka. What are you really saying, Rabbi Isai? You're saying sveika. Sveika deraisa lechumra. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Dabashay Miskavim is aser. Rabbi Yehuda is not saying for sure you're over an aser. Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that, well, you have to be careful. You can't do it because it may turn out to be malacha, and that would be covered by the rule of sveika deraisa lechumra, which would explain beautifully why, according to Rashi, there's a difference between are we dealing with a deraisa or a derabanan. If we're dealing with something which is an issa deraisa, and now there's a chance that a deraisa may occur, so we're stuck. But if we're only dealing with something which, even if I do it intentionally, is at worst only derabanan, so we fall back on the age-old principle, we hide behind sveika derabanan lekula. So maybe that's the rationale between the deraisa legal world and the derabanan legal world. Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole void of Dabashay Miskavim is midei sveika. It's only b'toras sofek, it's not b'toras vaday. So that would be a fascinating insight. Again, this is Rashi's chiluk between the Raisa and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiveger's insight within Shittas Rashi. this would take Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Dov Shabbos Kavin Aser and pop the air out of the balloon a little bit. That's not Bitter's Vaday Aser. It's only Bitter's Suffolk Aser. Rabbi Yehuda said, would that shed some light on our original question? According to Rabbi Yehuda, is Dov Shabbos Kavin something that the Torah prohibits or something that the Chacham prohibits? So the answer would be, well, whatever you think about Sveik the Reis L'Chumra, do you think that Sveik the Reis L'Chumra is something that the Torah mandates? Or is that principle itself, Sveik the Reis L'Chumra, something that the Chabad made up? So Yadua, that's a machlekes Avishai, machlekes Rambam the Rashba. The Rambam is a famous shita in Uchas Tumas Beis, where the Rambam suggests that all Sveikas, min HaTorah, are all mutter. Even though we've grown up all these years learning Shas, we always learn Sveik the Reis L'Chumra, Sveik the Reis L'Chumra, Sveik the Reis L'Chumra. So comes the Rambam and says that that's nice and true, the Mishnayos that support that idea, but that idea itself is only a chumah midrabban. On a level of the Araisa, all sveikas are mutter. If you ask my shabbat, I have a piece of meat in front of me, I don't know if it's a chaz or not, it's the most we can eat. So if that's true, that all sveikas are mutter min haTorah, and the whole institution, lock, stock, and barrel, sveik the Araisa chumah is only a chumah midrabbanon. And if Dov Shabbos Kavan is based on Sveik Dereis L'Chumra, just connect the dots, then Dov Shabbos Kavan cannot be a Dereisa. Rabbi Yehuda's version of Dov Shabbos Kavan cannot possibly be a Dereisa. Now again, that's assuming both of those things, assuming that Rabbi Kvegas, Pshat, Rashi is right, assuming that the Rambam is right. The Rambam is far from agreed upon by everybody, probably most of the Rishonim, the Rashi, the Rambam, many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and say that all Sveikas are in fact also in the Torah. So, obviously, according to those Rishonim, then Dov Shabbos Kavan should presumably be in a Seder Aisa. So, again, we're not sure. We're still kind of, you know, testing the waters here. We're really dealing with the fundamental question about entire Sugya, which we're just barely scratching the surface, is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that Dov Shabbos Kavan is prohibited. Is that something that the Torah prohibits? Is that something that the Chacham prohibits? So, we're found in Rashi a chiluk between Isurim Deraisa versus Yisurim Derabanan. Dov Shabbos Kavan is something we have to be worried about by Deraisas, and we can ignore by Derabanan. What sense does that make? What's the rationale for that? So the Kvegas beer, it's Betara Sofak anyway, and Sveikas Derais, the Chumash Sveikas Derabanan Lekula. And again, that spins off for the other Shail of Ram and the Rashi. So let's just summarize for a moment what we have at this point, just in terms of the Sugya. So we saw the Gemara in Masechah Sukkah, we started with the Mit in the Yadas. They have this hadas with the berries, and the Gemara is probably about the possibility of plucking off the berries. And the Gemara says, whether that's mutter or not, if you're doing it with tzorach achila, but then you're going to potentially be mashed the hadas, that smacks of davar shem is kavin. That sounds like it's relevant to the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So we said, let's begin to analyze that machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Is the machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon machlokes on a deraisa dik level or on a derabanan dik level? So we started to give a few examples of davar shem is kavin, and then we bumped into that brick wall in terms of the Gemara seems to almost be confusing us by calling Melachshet Yichul Gufas Dov Shabbos Kavan. We had the Rashba's Razzle Dazzle Lomdas in terms of Ketitas Taras to get us out of that one. But we're back to square one. We have a whole bunch of cases that Chazal are referring to as Dov Shabbos Kavan, where Rabbi Shimon is Matar, Rud is Asering, and we're not 100% sure is that on the level of the Raisa Drabban. So we're getting an inkling from Rashi or Kivager, but we still have a lot more to do. So that's from next week. We'll try to begin to focus on that Tosfos again. I don't think we're going to read the whole Tosfos together next week, but we'll try to get the Tamtis Advarim out of the Tosfos. The Tosfos has an entirely different reading of the Sugya from Namshu, A to Z. Everything changes in terms of our take about Dov Shabbos Miskaveh, being Deraisa, being Derabanan, when it applies Shabbos, Kol Torah Kula, back and forth. So we have a lot of work cut out for us from next week. We'll try to begin to analyze the Sugya through the eyes of Tosfos. So today was understanding the Rashba, just Shach Matar, Bira, and the Gemara, with beginning with understanding of Shittas Rashi from Mishnah. Next week, we'll take it to Tosfos angle. Okay.
Two questions. One is, according to Rav Yehuda, if I do drag the bench and I did not make a hole, did I violate an Isser?
Right. So that's part. That may be part of this question. It means I'll throw the question back at you. What if I take a piece of meat and it's a Safi Deraisa, and I went in and I ate the piece of meat and it turns out that I was okay. So did I violate an Isser? I'm not sure. Is Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra also because you have no right to risk it, but you know, eat at your own risk, and if you win it, you're good to go? Or Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra mean that you're not allowed to be Noyeg? If you do things that are but there is Safek, even if you win, at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. Did you violate an Issa? I've been having these fascinating discussions in the realm of other things related to Chamiras Akatim Surah. A person does something foolish.